There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Castology.
Is that you unmuting me? Yeah, okay. So I don't
You're
do
allowed
the thing.
To talk.
So
now.
I don't do the castology thing. All right, fine.
I'm glad you've done it now as well, though.
Well, let me just see.
It is important that
spoiled
our
spoiled my fun.
That.
Anyway, this is castology. We are castologists. I think we determined on another episode.
Capital C.
Big capital C.
Big weapon C for castologists. We review podcasts every week, just about. And we also recommend podcasts. And the way this thing works is we will recommend a podcast and then we will review the podcasts that were previously recommended. And I'm Patrick Shearer. I'm going to be one of the people doing that tonight. With me also is...
Zane C. Weber.
And also, as well...
Elizabeth Best.
So the three of us are going to do that for the next half hour or
right
so.
Right now.
Well, yeah. Presently.
What are we going to start with, Patrick?
We're going to start with recommendations for next week. And Zane, I want you to begin since I'm in the driver's seat.
Okay.
Arbitrarily, I've just decided you're kicking things off.
We're all getting very bossy with our turns hosting. We're just like, I'm the boss, so you do it.
Power corrupts. And absolute power also corrupts.
It's not the same, but yes.
Mm. My recommendation this week... being that we don't have a theme or anything, is just one of the podcasts that I've been listening to for a few years now called No Such Thing as a Fish.
But this, there is such a thing as a fish.
There isn't such a thing as a fish.
Oh.
The thing that we commonly refer to as a fish are actually descendants of what was a fish but now no longer exists.
Uh-huh.
I have heard someone say,
"So
never ask a biologist what a species is
yes.
because the definitions are very squirrely."
Yeah, taxonomy, I believe. It's messy. But basically, this came from a fact, one of the first facts that they brought up when they were doing research for QI. The British television show.
I love QI so much.
Right? Yeah, so these are the behind-the-scenes people who would do all the research for
right.
the questions for QI.
Oh.
And then they started releasing the podcast for all the facts that weren't included on QI
yeah.
and just released the podcast. Now the QI is over and done with. They're doing this.
Is it over yeah. and done with? I thought they had Sandy Toksvig as the new host.
Is it still current?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I kind of, if it's not Stephen Fry, I'm not as interested, to be honest.
Quite right. As
correct.
As a Stephen Fry purist, yes.
I mean, she's good as a guest and I'm sure she's a good host, but I love
Stephen
Fry.
I'm a big fan, but Stephen Fry's QI is the only QI for me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's.
I think that's
yeah.
it. That's all
oh
I need
no,
to
that's
say.
Good. That
it's
sounds.
Just a, it's just a general. It's kind of a general knowledge trivia podcast. Sometimes they bring in news or like
so
superstitions,
like facts that you can break out at parties and sound
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm into it. I'm probably going to give it a preemptive two thumbs up.
Like, there's no such thing as a fish.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes, and so there are three hosts. Sometimes I have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
All right, Liz. Well, we'll move on to you, as is fashion when one is hosting.
As is the fashion of the time. I did a last-minute switcheroo and switched out something that I was planning on recommending this week because I discovered a new podcast literally 4 days ago, maybe 5 days ago now. And you know when something just catches you at the right time and you just – you become quite fond of it and it's not – earth-shattering. I just really like it. It's called The Amelia Project. Now, what The Amelia Project is it starts with a little – it's kind of like a radio play, but it's got a twist. So it starts with this phone recorded message going, "This conversation isn't happening. If you've changed your mind, hang up now." Good choice. So the whole thing is based on – The Amelia Project is a service that helps people fake their own deaths. And so what you are listening to is the recorded sessions of the people who are coming in, why they need to fake their own deaths and how they're going to do it. It's a bit camp. It's the guy who hosts it is a and by hosts it, there's a guy called the investigator who isn't ever named. And there's these little prelude episodes that kind of give you a tiny little run-up of the guest that you're the case that's about to walk into the office. So it's him and his I think she's an assistant or secretary or Gal Friday, and he sounds very British. So he's like, oh, doing everything over a hot cup of cocoa. And so I
not tea, cocoa.
All right. From where is it? It's from a particular Parisian cafe that they say the name of like 60 million times, and I can't think of what it is. And then they have little interludes between episodes from the writers whilst actually sitting at said cafe drinking that particular cocoa. So I will say there's a lot of appealing for people to donate to their Patreon. Like at the end of every episode, they're like, "Please give us money," which is fine because please give them money. But it's just – it's a show that kind of tickled me a little bit. I just really liked the performances. I really liked the cute idea. There's something that's slightly problematic in the first episode that I went, ooh, maybe I can't recommend this. But I kept listening on to further episodes, and I've finished the entire series, and the new series is about to begin in June or July.
I look forward to this one.
So that is the Amelia Project.
All right. Great, Liz. Thank you very much. We all look forward to it.
You're so welcome, Patrick, as always.
What are you recommending, Patrick?
Are you sarcastic?
No, I'm saying I'm genuinely happy to be able to provide you with content.
Good. That's what I'm here for.
To be provided with content.
To be provided with content.
How about you provide us with some content?
Okay, well, I'm going to be recommending You're Welcome with Michael Malice.
No, You're Welcome.
It's Your Welcome.
It's My Welcome.
It's spelled Y-O-U-R.
Oh, that grinds my gears.
Yeah, that's precisely what he's trying to do. He is a I know he's an anarchist. I can't remember what other political leanings he has. But he is a troll as well.
Anarchist.
And he likes to flirt with a lot of ideas and people that a lot of other mainstream people don't want to. So this is what I quite like about him. I first heard him, I think, maybe on Thaddeus Russell's one.
You and your incestuous podcast.
Yeah. And then he's appeared in a bunch of other stuff. But he's been made, initially sort of rose to fame when he wrote Dear Reader, which is about North Korea. So he sort of went over there and did a whole bunch of investigating and journalistic kind of stuff, as you journalists do. Came back, reported, made a best-selling book. And he's recently released a book called The New Right, in which he's investigated like a lot of the alt-right and fringe movements and neo-Nazi kind of stuff that's been going on recently. So he is very much, I guess a refreshing voice when it comes to these kind of things, because he's actually embedded himself a little bit more than people who are just screaming bloody murder at anything. And I just like him because he's a cheeky little troll as well.
Yeah.
Oof.
I am.
Dane and I like trolls. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, this is why I put this one after No Filter, because I had both of them in mind, but I haven't listened to enough of this one to know which ones I ought to recommend to you guys.
Right.
Because I'm sure there are going to be some that piss you off immensely. But there's one I can recommend, Ethan Suplee or Suplee.
I never know how his name's pronounced.
He was the brother on My Name is Earl. He's in a bunch of stuff. He was in American History X.
And The Wonder Years.
Yeah. And going on from inside acting, it's a little bit like that. But the thing that they sort of align with is they're both anarchists, because he's like was into punk rock, and I think Michael was as well. Michael grew up in Soviet Russia. I don't know if there was much of a punk rock movement happening there, but that's sort of where they.
Spoiler alert: there was.
There was.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not familiar, but I imagine they would want to be one. But yeah, that's sort of where they align. But yeah, I just think he's an interesting cat who has interesting conversations with people who you would not normally hear having conversations with.
Yeah, this feels the fact that you said that he was on Thaddeus Russell makes a lot of sense to me, being that he's the Unregistered was all about, offending people and saying stuff that you're not really allowed to say out loud. Dangerous content, Yes, interested.
Intrigue.
So that's That's the three, is it?
That is the three recommendations indeed. Now we shall get on to the review. Zane, what did you bring us to review last week?
Last week I brought you the listener submission miscast commentary review.
You did.
Which was the movie commentary podcast.
You did. So I, as I was true to my word, listened to the Total Recall episode and I quite enjoyed it. I didn't watch Total Recall
while
I listened to it because I was in transit. And as I often do with this podcast is I cram at the end rather than plan things out.
We know. See, Patrick actually only tells us like the day before we record what we're supposed to be listening to. So even though we've got like weeks between episodes and recording, we all listen to it.
Well,
the
don't
day
you
before.
All cram as well? We all
only
cram.
Because I don't have your podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, I will say I've listened to it than the few of Liz's like already.
Yeah, well, whatever. But no, I actually did enjoy this. I think I, out of all the listener submissions, I think I've enjoyed this one the most.
Well, that's
I
good.
Think
yeah.
I found it quite refreshing. I didn't think they were terribly funny. I didn't think they were trying to be terribly funny.
No,
though,
they're
either.
Not like comedians.
But it was like I was just interested in these little tidbits they had about, you know, the cinema trivia, like, you know, who was going to be cast in this role and who was going to be cast in that role. Like, I'm always interested in that kind of stuff because one of my favorite bits of trivia is that Sean Connery turned down the role of Gandalf to do The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
And then quit acting. I don't get it anymore.
Yeah.
you kids go have your movies, yeah, so I'll have my millions.
Yeah, so I'm interested in that sort of stuff. And obviously when they got to the bit with the three boob chick, they made a big hurrah about that, which I always do when I watch that movie.
Because she's got three boobs.
it's crazy. But yeah, I enjoyed this quite a bit. And I would like you to send me one that you really enjoy. Because I obviously don't want to do Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No,
because then I'd have to
really
watch Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Total Recall. I did enjoy that one, and also Howard the Duck was pretty good as well. It was pretty enjoyable all the way through.
I'd have to watch Howard the Duck now as well.
Yes, yeah. If you haven't already, then yeah.
See, I was scrolling, and because they've just done recently all those Marvel things, I was like, I don't want to do a Marvel one, really.
Burnout.
Yeah.
What about you, Liz? You're a movie person.
I've been very quiet. I picked two episodes of two movies that I know very well, Die Hard 2 and Back to the Future, as I said I was going to.
And of course, Die Hard 2 is the best of the Die Hard movies.
No, it's Die
no,
Hard
Die
with
Hard
Avengers.
1 is the best of the Die Hard movies. I do not agree that Die Hard,
Die Hard with a Vengeance is
no,
the
I,
best.
No, I don't like Die Hard with a Vengeance. I think it goes Die Hard 1.
I'm going to disagree with both of you and say it's Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 1, then Die Hard 2, and then there's no other Die Hard movies.
Dear listener, I have no
fucking serious.
I hated 3.
Jeremy Irons, Samuel L. Jackson, and
it's
Bruce
It's not a Die
Willis.
Hard movie. Anyway, so here's my problem. I was listening to the Die Hard one and I was like, this is great. Die Hard's great. They got very dude bro-ish.
They do.
So then I went, okay.
It's two
well,
white guys with a microphone.
Maybe this is just this particular episode. So I got about halfway through that episode and then I went to Back to the Future where it got more dude bro-ish. To the point where they were talking about Lea Thompson's character and they were like, oh, yeah, she's the typical pastor's daughter thing. Like, you're meant to be good, but she's the one who really wants, like, 12 dicks at once. And I was like, oh, okay. So the movie trivia stuff I really liked. I liked when they were talking, like, I know a lot about Back to the Future when they were talking about Eric Stoltz being cast and then being fired and then they were talking about all the cool there's a lot of really cool Back to the Future behind the scenes content that they were up on. They knew all of it. It was quite, you know, and doing commentary for a movie is difficult. They did get a bit tangential, but that's okay because far out, who the hell can talk for that long when you weren't actually there to tell the story?
Yeah, with on topic.
But I either I picked two episodes that were a bit locker room talky or
I think
Total Recall got a little bit locker room talky, but
I mean
like they just kept talking about dick and pussy and I was like, yeah, okay, guys, we get it. But
I think they're making commentary for their audience, which is people like them.
Yeah.
Which is and I guess that is the stereotype of podcasting that we have at the moment is three white guys with microphones.
Yeah.
And this is true.
That's
white
why
guys
you have me on this podcast, isn't
well, yes.
it? Because I'm not a white guy.
We don't want to be a stereotype.
Uh I try very hard to encourage women to make podcasts.
Yeah,
for
so they
exactly
bloody
that
should.
Reason.
Yeah, so look, I and it's quite funny because I'd been listening to a few of our old episodes back, and I remember was listening to you talking about one of my podcasts as being a bit locker room talky. I think it was Guys We Fucked.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely it was Guys We Fucked.
And I feel like I felt a similar amount of a similar type
disconnect.
Of ick, yeah. And a similar type of disconnect that you did, where I didn't. It wasn't that I didn't like the content. It was that the way that it was presented in a couple of spots rubbed me the wrong way, but not in a fury, angry-making way, just in a, well, this isn't for me kind of way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I can definitely see
a little bit
that,
too dude bro-ish for me, but I still think they're doing a really good job at doing what they're doing for the people they're doing it for.
It is an ambitious format.
Yeah,
so,
like shit. Yeah. Hats off to them. And if you're a white guy who dreams of having a microphone, then this podcast is for you.
Well, I will say my pet peeve, because I, doing my job and researching podcasts, there are so many podcasts that are literally just me and my best friend asking the questions that no one else is brave enough to ask.
Everybody's
brave
enough
to ask. Or me and my best
friend
getting together once a week to go get crazy. I'm like, that doesn't describe anything about your podcast.
Mm-mm.
So, but I appreciate the effort that these guys are putting in. And yeah, like it is two guys, but I think maybe I'm just a little desensitized to guys talking like that now.
Yeah.
Whereas with the girls and guys we fucked, we're talking like that. I'm like, oh, usually women are my safe place from that. So,
and I think perhaps in this whole, like, you know, Me Too era, I'm more sensitive to that than I ever have been. Like, I'm normally all in for dick jokes, and I'm still all in for fart jokes because they will always be funny. But even, I think, I don't know, like, this is the thing, and I was questioning myself today. I was like, normally I laugh at these kinds of jokes, but the way that they were objectifying the women whilst they were talking about it just made me go a little bit like, no, sir, Leah Thompson does not want 12 dicks, nor does her character, and I don't like that.
The end.
Does anyone want 12 dicks? That seems like
that seems like an excessive amount of dicks.
I mean,
dicks.
At once, that is a lot of dicks. And now we're going into locker room talk. So shall
Let's
we move on to someone else's
that.
Podcast?
Yes, we shall. Liz.
I brought Where Should We Begin Esther Perel, who is a Belgian psychotherapist who basically does single therapy session case studies. So basically you as a podcast listener are listening in to a therapy session that she does with a client who's applied to be on this particular show, so they're all aware and it's something they wanted to participate in, probably because she charges $900 American dollars per session, and this might have been gratis for appearing on the podcast.
I can't hear the word psychotherapist without reading it like psycho.
The rapist. Yes.
And what a terrifying guy that
it's
would be.
It's true. It's like that. It's like in Arrested Development, he's an analrapist, which is just anal rapist. Anyway, sorry, we're locker room talking. Why are we doing this? This is a wonderful psychotherapy podcast, and I'm sorry that we just
It is
that.
Good. It is good.
Yes.
I understand the apprehension that you mentioned on the last episode about, oh, I feel a little bit weird about being in here in this room in this very intimate, private thing.
Yes.
But then obviously, the resolution makes it all worthwhile. So I listened to You Need Help to Help Her, which is about the couple that has the daughter who's struggling at the moment. They've adopted her. She's initially South Korean, so she feels a little isolated because she went to an all-white school. And they were sort of hiding the fact that she was having issues. And she was like, no, you need to. You can't just like fucking tuck this thing away. I'm spoiling it. But anyway, I don't want to, you know, spoil what happens. But obviously, like, hearing an actual therapy session take place and someone who is as well-equipped and articulate as she is deal with problems in real time, basically, is very engaging and interesting and beneficial and helpful, I think, because there might be something that you hear and you're like, oh, fuck, am I doing that?
Yeah, I think it's a really good opportunity for self-reflection. And yeah, like you said, I felt really uncomfortable at the start, but then I found this real beauty in that raw vulnerability.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't know, obviously, I don't know, not every episode I imagine has the sort of happier ending that I got with this one where the mum and the dad were like, oh, my God, I literally see what we were doing wrong and why, and because the dad was skeptical about going in and the mum was the one who wanted to do it. And she's like, yeah, I appreciate the skeptics. But and then he was like not skeptical at the end. He's like, I get it. You're amazing. Yeah.
There's this beautiful one that I listened to about this man who was diagnosed very early with Parkinson's and the wife couldn't figure out how to get out of the role of caregiver and back to the role of wife, which I thought was particularly moving. I got quite teary when I was listening to that one because he was like talking – he was talking to the therapist and he's like, yeah, she makes me want to be a better man. And the therapist was like, have you told her that? He said, well, I just said it 10 seconds ago. She goes, no, you told me that. Say it to her. And so she just – he said something and then she's like, keep going, keep going. And so he's just saying all these beautiful things to her and I'm just like, oh, God. Anyway, Zane.
I felt really creepy.
Yeah.
And as someone who has been to therapy a lot, I don't have a lot of the baggage that gets – brought out in these because, and again, I've never been to couples therapy and I hope that I never have to. But I listened to almost all the episodes of this trying to love it. I never got over the creepiness. I understand why people love it and I understand why you love it and why Patrick likes it. I never felt comfortable
with
this.
It's very confronting and that's what I was trying to say. Like it's...
I do like her talking through her process and I can see the benefit that people would get from like applying the lessons that people are learning to their own lives. And she does a great job of keeping it about the epiphanies and the process and the learning and not about the people and their baggage, because otherwise it would be a little exploitative.
And super intrusive.
And like they've consented, of course, and they're signed up and they're whatever. I never felt comfortable listening to this and listening to someone else's process because I just having been to therapy a lot, like it's meant to be a space where you figure things out for yourself or in this case with a partner and doing that in public, even if it is quite a bit after the fact, is quite confronting, thought.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of this podcast. She's done nothing wrong. Like Guys We Fucked, but the exact opposite. I'm not the audience for this because it squicks me out.
I'd be interested to see if there are people who go on this and then after it gets released just go, oh God, I wish I didn't do it like that.
Yeah, I was talking to my mum about some of the episodes.
They could get the episodes pulled if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
Probably. And well, she herself, Esther, in one of the episodes that I was listening to, I think it was You Can Be Right or You Can Be Married, she asks a question of the wife in the situation and she pulls out of the room and says, here, I should have asked a different question, but she was guarded and so I was feeling guarded, so I didn't. And these are the things I only pick up on listening to the recordings.
Right.
Which is one thing that I find particularly fascinating is that like you go to a therapist and they're like the font of all wisdom, but even they would have – like I went to a couples therapy session once that was so bad that the therapist phoned me like 3 weeks later to say, I've been thinking about that ever since. Can you come back for a free session because I'm sorry that I let it get to where it was.
And that's the thing, like therapy is so personal. Like you have to find the right therapist or just hope that you get one if you're not
what
going to
I
shop
think,
around.
I think you would like her TED Talks because they're obviously it's not like as intrusive, but you still get this I just love the perspective that she has of not trying to make your partner into your everything and draining them of everything that makes them. And I think that her ideas about, you know, having, you know, finding everything in one person, people need to listen to that. People need to hear that in this day and age because you've got so much expectations on your one partner being your everything that when they're not, you just go, well, maybe there's someone else out there. No, maybe you need to find somebody who, you know, can be that particular brand of emotional support while your partner is a different brand of emotional support, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm definitely subscribing to this. I'm going to try to muscle through it.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I think it's because this
don't force yourself if you feel uncomfortable though. No, like because I know it's a very vulnerable and very like we both felt icky when we first started, but I learned enough to get past the ick.
I think it's something that I definitely won't force myself to do it, but I want to examine what where this is coming from. So I'm going to stick with it, but this is like great content. This is a great podcast. I would put this up here with like what I want podcasts to be going forward is this sort of, because this isn't self-help. This is like an object lesson.
It's a case study journal article without academic speak and just being presented in the raw form.
Yeah, this is like a very great idea, and I'm very happy that this exists. And I'm going to try to learn to appreciate it for what it is and not feel squicked out.
Maybe you can ask your shrink why you've got such an uncomfortable response.
I definitely know why it is. It's because I've been to so much therapy and like I treat that as a very private space.
Well, because I've done a buttload of therapy as well, but I didn't have quite, like, I got over that because again, about that thing I said with my obsessive need to learn about how other people tick so that I can control the situation. Not healthy.
We'll see. All right, so that leaves us one more podcast.
And then there was one.
Again.
You're in charge of this.
This is your episode.
Yes, it is.
Where are we?
We're where we should be right now with No Filter, which I recommended to you guys last week.
You sure did.
Mia Friedman
has
those crazy interviews with people with No Filter. No real theme. Like, it's not like she's only interviewing firefighters.
Oh, right. Shit. And this is where it devolves. Yeah.
What did you guys think?
So, full disclosure, I am an author for Mamma Mia.
What?
I've written several articles that have been published on Mamma Mia. So, I am a big fan of Mia Friedman already, and I felt like I should probably disclose that before I say, this is so great, get onto the Mamma Mia network. Because the website that I used to write for syndicates a bunch of articles, and so I've had like 20 or so stories published on there.
Allowed to not be nice?
Yeah.
Good.
Of course you can. God. I admire Mia immensely as a journalist in terms of how much she's done with her career. I really liked the particular episode that I listened to, which was the Dr. Naomi one with the plastic surgery. So she was interviewing a plastic surgeon just about like what they do, and I liked the fact that she admitted a bias on going in and that she was icky with it, and that she said that, like, you know, she still felt strange but not the same strange that she thought she was going to feel going out of it. And
yeah, I liked that she sort of recognized her own agenda.
Yeah.
Like sort of throughout. Because I could tell that some questions, I feel like she was sort of leading it in a direction where she wanted an answer that she was never going to get.
So much
she,
of that.
She's very good at editorializing because she has been an editor for so many years that that's pretty much been her thing. So you know that with anything Mia Friedman, you are going to get Mia Friedman plus talent. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not the type of interviewer that removes herself from a situation. And I think this in this podcast, being that it's No Filter with Mia Friedman, that she's definitely letting her own personality shine
Friedman
through.
Is the filter, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, sort of. And it, the Mia and is I the could message. Tell that she was editorializing, but she also asked questions that allowed Naomi to smash what she had thought. So I enjoyed it. I'm a bit of a fan of this podcast, I think.
I only listened to the Gabby Stroud episode.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. There was a lot of that leading questions, and there was one point, and it was quite early in the interview, where she wanted, it was very clear that she wanted Gabby Stroud to say that this child came from a troubled home and describe the troubled home, and she kept talking about the behavior that she was seeing, and Mia kept going, okay, no, but what was his home life like? And it was like, oh, well, it was probably quite, he moved around a lot. I was like, oh, but so why do you think that happened? What do you think caused that? And I'm like, okay, okay. It was very, I hate to use this word, but it was very kind of today, tonighty, in the sense that, you know, you knew that she wanted that answer for dramatic effect, whereas I think what Gabby Stroud had to say was good enough as it is. And And I, yeah, I guess
there's a fine line, like speaking as someone who is actually like who does the interview, there's a fine line between being leading and wanting to get like it's, I'm trying to describe what it is. It's not wanting to get a specific answer, but if somebody is not being as thorough with the answer, like if it's almost investigative in that you think that there's something more to it and you're trying to uncover
it. And maybe that was just what it was, but it felt like she was on her way to getting to that answer and then she was interrupted to say just like, no, can you please directly say that he came from a bad...
There's an art form to I don't know if it
might have been in that particular episode, but with the Dr. Naomi, I don't think it was for dramatic effect. I think it was that she had a narrative in her head and she wanted the answer to be aligned with this narrative that she had.
And I quite like the fact with Naomi that it most often wasn't the same. And she was like, oh, okay. Like, and she wasn't being combative or anything. Yeah. Like, but yeah. Like,
and I mean, I got over that.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the interview and the episode, it was perfectly fine. But like going in, I'm like, oh, ow, I don't like the geography of this interview. Can you just let her speak more, please?
Yeah.
And then she did, and they kind of warmed up and they found their rhythm and they got into it.
Did you cry?
Pardon?
Did you cry?
I don't cry.
I know you don't.
I want to listen to it though and I'll tell you if I cry.
You'll cry.
I hate that this story exists.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that, this is a trigger for me, like the treatment of teachers and what teachers are expected to do and what teachers, it's just unsaid that they're meant to do, and they get in trouble if they're found out for doing, which is just like taking care and making sure that all the students are in a position to learn, making sure that they have enough food. Like they get in trouble for doing that. And it's just, I think this is...
I know too many teachers to, like my dad and his wife are teachers, and I feel like it's going to make me go, oh God, this is every conversation we have over a Sunday roast.
Yeah. Also like this is a Australian specific, so it is close to home. That's what I mean. Like go out, buy your teachers gifts and
appreciate them and tell them that you appreciate them and don't expect them to parent your children because they're not going to. That's your job.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what this episode was, is her kind of stepping in as
a caregiver kind of, because no one else was. But
and telling the stories of how this one kid would go to different foster homes and she would put him on the bus in the afternoon and he would ask her, well, where am I going? And she's like, I don't know, but when you get to your bus stop, someone will get you off and you just have to go with them. I'm like, what? What is this person and why does she have to do these
things? Okay, that's making me teary just having you retell that. So
you're going to cry.
It's rough. So everyone listen to specifically that episode and buy Gabby Stroud's book.
And government, pay your teachers more.
Yes.
Yes, government. And we know you're listening.
Give them the ability to do stuff.
Yeah, the number of times that my dad, like students have been completely preventing anyone else in the class from learning and being terrible and they're like, oh, well, we don't want to suspend them because it looks bad. Are you kidding me?
I'm just talking like let teachers hug their students if the students need it.
Yeah,
like,
true.
It's as simple as that. Like there's a ridiculous bureaucracy around teaching now, but that's not what this whole No Filter podcast is about. But overall, I think No Filter is good. I don't think I'm going to subscribe to it, but
content,
I think I will go back to it.
I reckon I'm going to continually ask
and
Gina
I'm sure
for
we can
recommendations.
Get Gina to curate episodes. Yeah, she has mentioned another one with Osha.
Oh, Osha Gunsberg. Formerly Andrew G,
who also went to my school, but no big deal.
You were besties.
No, he's much older than me. But apparently that one was quite good because he gets into a side of himself that you would not see on the TV screen, No Filter style. You know what I mean?
I know.
I think that's it.
That's it.
I think that's more or less what we've set out to accomplish, and
what
we've
did we
accomplished
recommend?
It. We've recommended. You're Welcome with Michael Malice. That's Y-O-U-R. Liz, I'm going to get you guys to do yours.
Oh, God. What did I just do, Zane?
It's you one that you...
The Amelia Project.
The
Amelia
that's
Project.
Right. Yeah, the Amelia Project.
The charming Amelia Project, yes.
Yeah.
And I recommended No Such Thing as a Fish, trivia general knowledge podcast.
Brilliant. We're on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We don't have Snapchat though, but is that even social media?
Yeah, it is, but no one uses it.
Yeah, don't want it. Well, porn stars do. It's good for porn.
Okay.
I'm told.
Are you a porn star?
No, I just played a porn star's boyfriend in a film.
Well, I don't think that counts.
No, it doesn't.
Are you on Snapchat?
No, yeah, I technically have a Snapchat
account, but all I do is take photos of my face with the stupid filter and then save the photo on my phone and send it out during other social media. I don't think I've ever used Snapchat to send it out.
Yeah, I thought about using it briefly to like make short comedic videos, but then I just got really lazy and was like, I don't
know. This
was
Vine
a short
was
social
for.
Media episode.
Yeah. And then lastly, you can find us at thatsnotcanon.com/castology. And remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment.
Review, rate, review. Love us.
Send
on
us
any podcast that you can listen to us.
Send
on.
Us a letter.
Carrier pigeon.
One. Mm-hmm.
I'm not equipped to receive carrier pigeons. I'm sorry.
Why not?
I am.
I don't have a rooftop.
Send a carrier pigeon to Patrick.
Yes, I've got my carrier pigeon catcher ready.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, this has devolved sufficiently that I'm going to say
good.
Goodbye,
stop it,
everyone.
Kill it. Die.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Morgan Phillips and I'm a human.
And I'm Isabella Vallette and I'm also a human. But I was raised by fairies. And now I'm taking my human friend Morgan in to meet all of the mythological creatures that I know.
Every Sunday we meet a new mythological creature and interview them about their life in a modern day context.
Such as?
The Night King from Game of Thrones.
Funicula, the friendly vampire brother of Dracula.
We've met the Loch Ness Monster.
Santa.
The Volpertinger.
The Devil.
And a mermaid.
And many more.
We release all our interviews as a podcast called Off of the Fairies, where we interview a new mythological creature every week living in a modern day world.
Come join us.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.